Second Chronicles. For a Jew, the last book that the Jews look at is Second Chronicles, and verse 36, chapter 36. And this is where Nebuchadnezzar ends up taking them to Babylon. The Jewish people never thought that God would ever leave them like he did. They never thought that the king of Babylon would ever conquer Jerusalem. And Jerusalem's been conquered, hadn't been conquered, but there's been 48 wars fought over Jerusalem. And look at verse 4, and it says, the king of Egypt made Jehoiakim, his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem, and turned his name to Jehoiakim. And Necho took Jehoahaz, his brother, and carried him to Egypt. And Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. And against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in feathers and put chains on him and carried him to Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar also carried of the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in his temple at Babylon. Now, they say that Nebuchadnezzar never got the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, if you look at that out there on that picture, the Ark of the Covenant is where Jehovah God would come down and be into the Holy of Holies and meet with the high priest once a year, and blood was taken in there once a year of a lamb. And that's why we know Jesus Christ took away that thing, because when he was crucified, he hung on the cross, and then you're reading your Bible, it says the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And you read that, and you go, what's that? They say the veil was about a foot thick, and the glory of God was inside the Holy of Holies, and that thing was ripped in twain. And when the high priest, after Jesus Christ was crucified, and after he was dead, they went back into the temple, and they walked into the holy place, and they looked, and all of a sudden, they could see into the Holy of Holies, and they turned, because anybody that would look into the Holy of Holies was killed. They would die. But when they saw there was no glory there. And the Lord departed. God left them. And so then they deceived the nation and made them think God's still there. But here they're taken to Babylon, and they lose their position, and Nebuchadnezzar takes them out, and then the temple gets destroyed, and then also Nehemiah comes back. You got Ezra. Next book here, you got Ezra and Nehemiah coming back to rebuild the walls, because they tear the walls down. And the walls are massive around Jerusalem. The walls are massive. You see them walls, my. And then the temple. And it says, now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim, verse 8, and his abominations, which he did. And the reason why they said that he did abomination, here's a nation of people that knew there was one God. They knew there was one God. And his name was Jehovah. But in the New Testament, Jesus Christ becomes, we find out he's the Son of God, and God's in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And they're the only nation that worship one God. There's still nations right now worship many gods. America worships many gods. On Sunday, there's people worshiping football players. People worship, at the American Idol. They worship movie stars. They worship all this stuff. They worship that stuff. And they have their altar and all that stuff. They build that thing, and they carry on. And I like football. I like it. I watch it. I watched the Super Bowl. I watched it the other night. But anyway, but in India, they worship many gods. In China, they're an atheistic nation, but they, still Buddha. And Confucius, and then you got the Muslims, Muhammad, and the Muslims took that one God thing. They took that like the Jews, so look on down. Let's read on down. It says, now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations, what he did, that which was found in him, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. And Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign. So Nebuchadnezzar comes, they put him as king, an eight-year-old boy. And he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Here's a little kid, 8 years old, doing that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. We got little kids in America doing that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. We got little kids learning. See, they want to teach the kids, to teach them all the wickedness. And they try to teach the kids right now. They want to teach all the kids. You ever know, when I was growing up, the cartoons, we used to watch Tom and Jerry, Bugs Bunny. We used to watch all, and the music wasn't that bad. But now the music is in the cartoons. It's changed. Big change. All this stuff has changed. The movies now has got some more graphic stuff and more stuff in it now than ever before. And what their goal is just like that man-boy love association in Washington, D.C. They've got a love association of little boys. They want to get a hold of little children. They want to mess up little kids. And they want to teach them young so they'd be perverts as they get older. That's what they're trying to do. And I grew up in that generation. So do you. We grew up around that stuff. And it was just, to us, it was like normal. It was normal. And as you get saved and you start growing, you learn this stuff ain't normal, man. That stuff ain't right. And you got to teach against that stuff. What's happened, most churches don't preach on any kind of sin. They don't say anything about anything. They just go on. And they allow stuff. That's why most churches today, they got the rock bands. They got the music, they got the idols, they got the lights. You go to some churches, it don't remind you of a church. It reminds you of going to a concert of some sort, a rock concert. And that's what's happening in America. But they want to get a hold of the kids, and they want to mess up the kids. And then here you got killing children before they're, even after they're ready to be born. It says when the year was expired, this little boy, 8 years old, 3 months, 10 days in Jerusalem, he did which evil in the sight of the Lord. And you say, what did he do so bad? What was it so bad? Here he was, the king. This guy was a king. He was doing some evil stuff. Probably into witchcraft. Probably doing some stuff like that. Maybe his mother was into witchcraft, teaching that kid. We got people teaching their kids now witchcraft. Yeah, they're teaching them all kinds of stuff, hocus pocus, and all that stuff. They teach them on the cartoons. And when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord and made Zedekiah his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem. And here's the kicker. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. So he reigned 11 years. And Zedekiah... And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, his God. And the reason I'm reading all this, I'm going to get down to a place and let you see something. It says, Zedekiah was 120 years old, when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Jeremiah, if you read the book of Jeremiah, this is before Jeremiah is there, and Jeremiah is preaching, saying, God's going to destroy this place. And it wasn't popular, not with the Jews. It wasn't popular at all. When Jeremiah shows up, he's called the weeping prophet. He's weeping over Jerusalem. And he sees and he knows that God tells him, I'm going to destroy this place and tell him to go out, surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, and I'll have mercy on him. But they wouldn't do it. They said, no way. You're a false prophet. You're telling us wrong. Because no prophet ever told us surrender. No prophet ever did it. And Jeremiah is told by God to tell him surrender to the Chaldeans and the Babylonian king. Says surrender to him and he'll let you live. And they don't do it and they fight and they end up, thousands die. They end up dying. And Zedekiah gets his eyes put out. He runs and breaks through the wall because all the mighty men leave. The king of Babylon catches this guy, Zedekiah. And because he wouldn't listen to what Jeremiah was saying, so they catch him and they take him to the king of Babylon and they kill all his kids in front of him. They kill every one of them. And the kids are screaming, Daddy, 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 Daddy. People say, why does bad things happen? Why does God allow bad things happen? I'm going to tell you something, man. This thing is set where people make decisions. They make their choices. And that's why it's important about choices in your life. Because your children are going to suffer for it, too. Amen. Your children and your grandchildren on down the line will suffer for it. And there, these kids are screaming, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And they're killing each one of them. And he's watching it. And then the last thing they do to him, they put his eyes out. They take hot irons and put it in his eyes, burn his eyes out. So the last thing he's seen was his kids dying and screaming. That's like, you talk about, man, I thought about this. I thought about, man, I don't know how many times I've gone to bed and woke up thinking about how cruel mankind is. Man always figuring out devices, how to hurt somebody, how to destroy people, just annihilate people. Man's always thinking of ways to do that. And God still puts up this stuff. And he puts up, but one day is coming. One day is coming. One day is going to be over. And one day God's going to judge this world, man. And I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. If you're not saved here tonight, you better get saved. Now, let's read on down. And it says, and he did that which evil in the sight of the Lord, verse 12, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against the king of Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God but he stiffened his neck. See, when they captured him, when they put him in charge, he swore by God, the God of Jehovah. He swore he would be obedient to the king of Nebuchadnezzar, to the kingdom. He swore to God and to the king that he would not rebel against him. But he got people around him, and they start saying, hey, man, God's still with us. God still want us. I mean, this is God's people. This is God's place. You know, the Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God. God's people are supposed to judge themselves. And the Bible says this. It made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning on the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, I mean many times, God sending messengers saying, go tell them. He said, because he had compassion on his people, God kept warning them and warning them and warning them. You know, the Bible says God's slow to anger of long and he's slow to anger and of great compassion. I thank God he is. And I know this, he's dealing with them as a nation. We are that are saved, he deals with us as individuals. And he deals with us, because we're in Jesus Christ. And here in the Old Testament, they weren't in Jesus Christ. And the Lord of their God of their father sent on them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. And they mocked the messengers of God, just like America, and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. No remedy. When it comes down to no remedy, brother, sisters, when it comes down to a place, God says, that's it. No, no more. No remedy. I mean, you go to the doctors and the doctor tells you something bad and he says, well, I tell you, there's no remedy for it. That's scary. When God says there's no remedy, that's even 10 times, 100 million times worse. If God says there's no remedy, God says, okay, Israel, that's it. I've had compassion. I've dealt with you. How many years and years and years? And he says, that's it, no more, no more. I thought about a couple times in the Bible where the Lord said, that's enough. He just says, that's enough. Now, the reason I'm saying that, now God deals with us as individuals. I hope the Lord ain't looking at us and saying, individually, that's enough. That's enough. The Bible says no remedy. Go to Proverbs 6. Go to Proverbs 6. We ain't going to be long, just a few minutes. Just give you a thought. Proverbs 6. If I can get there. Verse 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? I'll get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. God doesn't like laziness. He doesn't like people to be lazy, especially when it comes to spiritual things. Amen. A haughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. You ever have people wink at you? Every time somebody winks at me, I think about that verse. He winketh with his. I'm not kidding. It pops in my mind. I'm thinking, why are they winking at me, man? Don't be winking at me. And that's why I quit winking at people. I quit that. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teaches with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually. He soweth discord. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly there shall he be broken without what? Suddenly, this guy is going to be broken without remedy. Look at the next verse. These six things do the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abominable. You say, does God hate? Yes, God hates. God loves. Everybody knows God is love. God is love. But they don't know God hates. You know what? God made you in his image, and you love things, and you hate things. God made you in his image. But you fell from that image. You got Adam's image, but you still got to love, and you got to hate. It's like a positive negative on a battery. You don't work right unless you have them both. You know what? We hate other people's sins, but we don't hate enough of our own. Amen. You want to find that. You know what I found? People real quick and point out the finger. Hey, he's a hypocrite. Amen. But they're hypocritic too. Amen. Right. They can't see their own hypocriticalness in their own life. Real hypocrite. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. And suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things do the Lord hate, yea, seven abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue. You know, I've seen people are poor as poor, and basically just proud as proud. They're poor as poor and proud as proud. You can say, well, rich people can be the same way. Yeah. And middle class people can be the same way. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, and feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Don't be sowing discord. Amen. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. You think about those things. I mean, you got to think about stuff. And you think about, you know, what your mama's taught you, when she ought to be teaching you the Word of God. Mama shouldn't be teaching the kids how to smoke, drink, cuss, all that stuff. Mama shouldn't be doing that. Mama ought to be teaching the kid how to get close to God. Teaching the kids how to pray. They ought to be teaching the kids good things. I was raised, you know, around the house drinking, everybody drinking. I started smoking dope. Everybody's cussing, using God's name in vain. I was raised like a wild animal. And I thought about that. My mom smoked, drank. I knew when my mother was drinking because when I come in the house, she started slapping me in the face. She was drinking. So I preach a boy's funeral here that killed himself. The boy got saved. He said, can a boy go to heaven? Yeah. Mama, you know what? Mama taught him how to drink. Mama taught him how to do drugs. We had a girl come to the house that Eric brought over the house, and this girl got three children, and all three of them taken away from her. And she came down here, and we took her back to Harrisburg on a Wednesday night. I didn't miss Wednesday night. She was all messed up. She was popping pills, staying at Eric's house. She was constantly popping pills. And instead of saying, I need to get myself together for my children and to get my kids back, get my life together, she just kept popping pills and drinking and carrying on, fighting with her mother. They said the mama and daughter got in a fight in the parking lot of Walmart, and the mama beat the tar out of her. Amen. They were both drunk. You talking about sad? Amen. No remedy? There's a remedy now. You can get saved. Amen. You can call on God. Amen. He still hears. Look at Proverbs 29. Here's the thing. God hates a proud look. He hates a lying tongue. He hates those that sow discord. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imagination. The Lord hates those things. We all got it in us. But you got to fight against it on a daily basis. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Look at Proverbs 29. First verse. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Somebody's telling you the truth and telling you about doing right and getting saved and all that. It says, harden his neck. Saying, I'm good. I don't need what you got. I don't need no religion. Nobody talking about religion. Right. Nobody's talking about it. We're talking about the Son of God that died for you. Amen. Amen. Had mercy and grace while you're still alive. He that hardeneth neck, saying, I like the way I live. I want to do what I want to do. You know how many times people come up to me and say, preacher, I need help. And a lot of times I say to them, are you willing to change? But a lot of people want help. They don't want to change. Often reproved. You know what's right. And you know what? When you hear when it's preached and somebody's talking to you, it rings right. It rings right in your ears. You say, that's right, but I just ain't ready. I ain't going to do it. He that being often reproved hardened his neck. Look what it says. He that being often reproved hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You don't know when it's coming. You don't know when your time, your appointment with God is. The Bible says as appointed unto man wants to die and after his judgment. Nobody knows when your time. I don't know when I'm going to die. You don't know when you're going to die. There was a preacher up in Pennsylvania. I was just talking to a brother today. And a preacher up there, his daughter was having a baby in the hospital. So he went out and sat in the car. I thought he was in the hospital. He went out and sat in his car. They went out to tell him she was having complications. He went out to pray. He was sitting in his car. They went out there, tapped on the window. He didn't open the window. He was dead, sitting there in the car, dead. Death comes to everybody. It makes no difference whether you're saved or not. But it says it comes harder when it's a person rejects Jesus Christ, rejects Jesus Christ, rejects Jesus Christ, rejects Jesus Christ. And I was talking to a guy last night, and hard dude, hard guy, don't want to hear it. He was telling me about all his physical problems. He was only 50-some years old. He that being often reproved hardeneth neck shall suddenly be destroyed, that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, people mourn. Whosoever loveth wisdom rejoices his father. But he that keepeth company with the harlots spendeth his substance. All right, go back to 2 Chronicles and we'll close up on this one. It says, 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and look at 15. It says, the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messenger, rising up betimes, many times. You know, when I finally understood how to be saved, I didn't want to ask questions. My brother used to tell me, you need to get saved, you need to get saved, you need to get saved. I saw, I don't want to hear that blankety blank stuff. And I stabbed him twice and shot him once and all that stuff. I was growing up like that. And my brother would tell me about Jesus Christ. I'd mock him. I'd make fun of God. I'd cuss God in front of him. I would call God some filthy, vile names. I would say it in front of my brother just to aggravate him. To make him want to fight. And I'd say stuff like that, and I thought, God, still have mercy on me. He still had mercy on me. You wonder why I get excited? I get excited, and I can't help it. Because I know where I came from. I know what he did for me. You know what was written it was written in my life, no remedy. Until I cried out to God. When I cried out to God, he said, he took the pill, the gospel, amen. They mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy. Therefore, he brought upon them the kings of the Chaldeans who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary. And had no compassion upon young men or maidens, old men or him that stoopeth for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of the princes, all these he brought to Babylon. When we was in Jerusalem, we went into the place called the Temple Institute. And it's a little place right in old Jerusalem. They went in there, and you go to each room. They show you the way the temple was, the way it was set up, the sacrifices went in, all that. We went from room to room. Then they showed us the high priest garments. They have everything. I asked the guy, I said, do you have the Ark of the Covenant? And the Bible says they took all the vessels. And I asked him, I said, do you have the Ark of the Covenant? He says, yes, we have it. I said, where is it? I was talking to a Jew yesterday. And he goes, it's in Ethiopia. The Jew told him. I said, no, he says they got it. He said, if they do have it, he said, it's under the temple or under the Dome of the Rock. I said they got it. And so they have everything ready to rebuild the temple. This will be the third temple. They're ready for it. And they think their hope is the temple. They believe their hope is the temple and starting sacrifice again. They think that's their hope. Their hope came 2,000 years before. His name was Jesus Christ. And they rejected him. And for 2,000 years, they've been blind. 2,000 years. Can you imagine? Generation after generation after generation after generation after generation after generation, blinded. No remedy. They rejected what was offered to them. The preachers, the prophets that came to them. That's why it's important. See, in preaching, I watch people on Sunday morning, Sunday night. I watch people while I'm preaching, and I can see who's getting it, who ain't. You can see. And I'm not saying hearing me. I'm not saying just me, my words. My words don't mean nothing. But when you're getting the Word of God and telling people how to get saved, I watch people. But you know what I watch? I watch people sit here like this, sit in the service until something happens in their life. And I've had people call me up in the middle of the night. And they sat there like despising the Word of God. They sat there kind of contemptible, just sat there looking, judging everything. Look at the hypocrites. Look at this. And they come to church here. And they'll sit around and look at people. But you know what? I get a call in the middle of the night. And they'll be crying on the phone. Something just happened. Guess what? I'll go. You know how many people I've led to the Lord that used to come to this church? And they weren't saved, end up getting saved. See, God knows if when we pray, we say, God, I pray you save them. Don't let them die and go to hell. So God's got to have something in their life to get them to look up. You know what happened to the Ryman family? My brother, God took my brother. My older brother's in prison for life. Been in there since 1975. What happened to the Ryman family? God had to take some things away. So all of us wouldn't die and go to hell. Why? Because my brother Homer prayed, God save the Ryman family. He got killed. My truck ran over him, killed him. So my brother, I attribute anything I did or do as my brother's prayers. My brother in prison got saved. My sister's here. My dad and mom got saved. All of them got saved. It was over my brother's. So there was no remedy for the Ryman family until Jesus came. Amen. If Jesus comes in your life, what a blessing. He'll take the curse off of you. Amen. All right, we're going to take a prayer request. Yeah, we're going to take up an offering too.